Today, I'm going to share with your listeners a structure that is going to help them put together a presentation that they can use online, on stage, and in print. And that will help them to communicate inside of the listening styles of the audience. Because if we just speak the way we speak, then that's all well and good, but we're only going to be attracting 25% of the audience or 25% of our listeners, because only 25% of the population is like us. The other 75% have all got different listening skills and learning skills, and we need to speak inside of those in order to move their hearts and inspire their minds.
Welcome to the Marketing Your Practice podcast, where we help natural health practitioners and wellness experts build profitable, predictable, and enjoyable practices. Each week, we share simple, effective, easily actionable, and proven heart-centered marketing strategies. And now your hosts, Dr. Angus Pike and Dr. Tony Rose.
Welcome to the Marketing Your Practice Show, episode number 22. And today we speak with the amazing Karen Smith. So got a question for you. Have you ever wanted to take your message from one to many, but do you get a bit concerned or scared at talking with groups of people? Now, whether it be live in groups or whether it be kind of over video, Facebook Live, those kind of things. Well, if you answered yes to this, then stick around because you're going to love this chat. So Karen Smith trains people to publicly speak, amongst other things. And she has this simple but incredibly powerful framework that'll make your presentations entertaining, engaging, and will also help people to take action at the end of them as well. Now, again, whether this be through video, the written word, a framework kind of works across everything. And I know that, you know, we both had a heap of fun with Karen.
I think that's the beauty of it is that this works in any material you're putting out there, whether it be video, live, written, blogs, vlogs, whatever it is. Great structure to be able to just run this through so that you know at the end of it, people go, wow, I need to take action.
This content is brilliant. Jump on in and enjoy.
See you soon.
A big warm welcome to our gorgeous and always smiling friend. Welcome to the Marketing Your Practice Show, Karen Smith. How are you?
I'm great, but part of the reason I'm always smiling is because you guys crack me up all the time.
Well, that's a good thing.
Tony and I were busting out of groove just before you hit record.
We'll have some B-roll at the very end of this interview with these guys coming up that we can see from that too. So how are you?
Oh, look, I've never been better, never been better. On top of the world, everything is going really, really well in my world, and I'm so excited to be here with you guys. It's, you know, I was actually thinking about it this morning when I was in the shower. I just have to just tell you, I was thinking of you in the shower.
That's what all the girls
about say. Our. Yeah, I know. I was going to say, do you get that all the time?
Not enough.
And
not
I was enough, actually thinking. But I was thinking how often we've actually done stuff together, and it feels like, you know, we've got this great groove going between the three of us, and it's so fantastic. I was really, really excited to be able to be on the show and to speak for you guys and also for your listeners. So thank you for having me. And thanks for having me back.
It's a lovely friendship, one that we really value. I think last time I saw you was you're on an Instagram story and you were driving prestige cars. I think it was a Jaguar you had for the day, something very snazzy. So thank God.
Stop it. I think I was born to be a brat. Yes. So when I got into, it was a Jag, I don't know, I can't remember the numbers on the back of it now, but it was like this hotted up V8 sports car. Yes. And when we were driving, it felt like our bums were on the ground, and it was fabulous. That baby cornered like she was on rails. It was awesome.
And I'm just imagining the blonde hair going, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you know, the scarf in the wind, all that stuff. It was fabulous. I said to my girlfriend who I was there with, I said to her, you know, I never realized I cared about the driving experience as much as I actually do, and I didn't know I was a Bogan ref head. I'm just putting it out there.
Well, I don't really know Bogan to like cars.
No.
So I love cars. I guess I am a bit of
I love driving fast.
Mm. Yeah, good, good, good.
I like it.
Now today.
Well, you live your life fast too, Karen. That's what we want to dive into today. So it's not just about your driving expertise, yes, but other aspects of life as well.
We're going to talk and borrow on some of your expertise in another area of your life. Today we're going to talk all about taking our message from one to one and one to many. We often talk about how we can do that through different social media platforms. One of the old school ways of doing that, and still one of the most profound ways for us as health practitioners, particularly natural health practitioners, to share our message, is start doing group presentations. Now, whether that be inside our practice, man, this whole thing of corporate talks, corporates are looking for health solutions, local sports groups. There are many, many people that are putting their hand up that want the help of us as natural health practitioners. However, as people talk about it, sometimes you hear the number one fear is public speaking. Now, people fear that more than death, which I think is a little bit ironic. But there's fears about, man, I would like to do that kind of stuff. I don't know what to say. If I got in front of people, how do I make it also so it's impactful? How do I get over all my fears? And when Tony and I were talking about that, there's nobody better than we know than you. You teach people this kind of stuff. So I'm going to kind of just hand over to you. How do we get over the fear? What do we say? How do we have an impactful public presentation that changes people, that motivates them? And I guess at the end of the day, too, for those people that are appropriate, how do we get them coming into our practice? You know, taking that next step, which is where we can really make a difference to their lives.
All of those are really amazing questions and very important questions that I think it doesn't matter whether we're selling lingerie or lollipops or we're in the natural health industry. I think those are really important questions for all of us to be asking ourselves in terms of how can I get my message out to the masses and start to create some miracles and start to, you know, make money with my message. How do I do that? And then how do I impact lives and how do I create new choices for the people who are listening? And I think that that is a question that everybody should be asking themselves, not just once, but constantly in their business, because the way that the marketplace listens changes, and it changes regularly. So we as service providers, we have to make sure that we're presenting our offering in a way that our audience can hear it. And what I've found a lot of the time with people when they think about, okay, so how am I going to get my message out there? What am I going to do? Am I going to do social media? Am I going to do videos? Am I going to do courses online? You know, am I going to do talks? What am I going to do? I think what we tend to do is draw on what we're experts at and then start talking about what we're experts at. Rather than the very first thought should be, how can I share what I know in a way that moves and inspires my listener? So our attention needs to be moved from ourselves to our listener. When our attention's on us, oh my goodness, I think that's, you know, when it's most nerve-wracking, that's when we feel like, oh my goodness, I feel like I'm going to shrivel up underneath the rock here and I don't think I'm going to be able to cope speaking in front of 50,000 people or five, whatever your number is. Mm-hmm. But I think that when we are so self-focused and so much, so very heavily focused on thinking about what we want to say and making sure that we get it right, we've got too much attention placed on ourselves when actually the audience is in the same place, meaning they have their attention on themselves. You know, everybody is there to listen, but they're there for themselves. They're tuned into W2FM. So what's in it for me? Everybody wants to know why. Am I here? Why would I be listening to you? How is what you have to say, how is that going to change my life? So their awareness is in themselves and on themselves, wanting to get what they can out of the person who's speaking, whether that's online or whether that's on stage. It doesn't really make any difference, or whether that's in print. So I think that that's something we've got to really look at first if we're going to take our message out from one-to-one to one-to-many. Because one-to-one, there's a very safe dynamic there. But one-to-many, it's kind of you're dealing with an unknown quantity, faces that you don't know what they're thinking. You know, you're trying to read everybody's facial expressions and panicking, thinking, oh, my God, what if they don't like me? You know, and chances are they're not even thinking about that. They're just trying to listen for words that you're going to drop that are going to make a difference to them. So today I'm going to share with your listeners a structure that is going to help them put together a presentation that they can use online, on stage, and in print. And that will help them to communicate inside of the listening styles of the audience. Because if we just speak the way we speak, then that's all well and good, but we're only going to be attracting 25% of the audience or 25% of our listeners. Because only 25% of the population is like us. The other 75% have all got different listening skills and learning skills, and we need to speak inside of those in order to move their hearts and inspire their minds.
Beautifully put. Beautifully put.
Ooh, so, I'm excited.
Yeah. So is this code that we've just gone through there, is that code just really getting to know your audience? Is that what you mean?
Well, there are a couple of steps and it's all part of the structure. And I'm sure you guys will put the notes there for your listeners to be able to revisit it. But I'll work through it. And part of that structure of speaking inside of, you know, the audience's listening apparatus, if you like, includes also knowing who the audience is. Because if we don't know what their problems are, if we don't know what they're struggling with, how can we be sure that we're going to be able to add massive value to them?
Yeah, absolutely.
How can we be sure that we're going to make a difference in a wow kind of a way? And that's ultimately what we're going for. We want some wow factor in there because that's what makes us memorable.
So can we workshop through an example? So let's use the example of I'm a chiropractor and the local real estate agent is wanting me to come and speak. I've got a patient there that has looked after his great results. And he said, look, you know, we do this kind of monthly team meeting and we have people come in and talk about different things. Would you be interested in coming in and doing a kind of 30-minute talk, of which I go, yes. And now I'm in this next phase of what the heck am I going to talk about? You know, do I just go in there and tell them about chiropractic? You know, so can we workshop through that if that was the example? And then perhaps our audience can then start to substitute what might kind of work for their profession and what group they might be talking through. Would that be a good leaping off point?
I think that sounds fabulous. can I just check with you? Can you hear the traffic out the side of my...
All right,
well, let's use that as an example. So here we go. We first of all need to think about what is it, because we know what we know. We don't need to talk about everything that we know. We just need to talk about what we know that's going to make a difference to the real estate agents. Mm. So how does chiropractic support a real estate agent? And that's what we've got to start thinking about. What is chiropractic promise a real estate agent that's going to make them say, yes, you get me, you understand me? What is it? So let's workshop that first. Solutions would you want to offer?
So we could go on the idea of, I would think that, you know, to be a successful real estate agent, it would be important that you have high energy. And that when your body's not working right and your spine is out of alignment and you're sore, then your energy is going to be low. So it's going to be difficult for you to inspire people and show them through houses and be excited about stuff if your body's not working right. So is that the kind of thing that you mean?
Spot on.
Right.
You've done this before.
Oh, wow. So, through your courses.
Okay, so let's start from the very beginning and see what this looks like as we put it into the structure. We're going to keep it really straightforward and really easy so that everybody who's listening to this recording will always remember the parts of the structure. So when we look at the four different learning styles of humanity, if you like. Now, I didn't come up with this and I wish I was this clever, but this is actually part of a learning strategy that's been developed in the United States for children in the more progressive schools. So this is a learning strategy called FORMAT. So it's a number 4 and then MAT. And it talks to the four learning styles. So first of all, we have our why learner. So the why learner wants to know, why am I in the room? Why is this important? Why would I listen to you? Then we have our what learner who wants to know, well, what are you talking about? What are we going to be covering here today? And then we have our how learner. Now the how learner needs to know the structure, the instructions, the step-by-step, point-by-point. And then we have our do-it learner or kinesthetic learner. And that person actually needs an example. They need you to play a game with them or, you know, let them touch the pen in order to know how a pen works. So if we work through those four structures, it'll give us a really good way to take what you've just said, Angus, and put it inside of a presentation and then we should have something pretty cool at the end of the conversation here. So let's first start with the why learners. So let's just first start with the why learners. And we start with the why learners first because they are the sharpest and the quickest and they don't muck around, so you can't mince your words with the why learner.
Yes.
Now, I'm a why learner. Yeah, you've got to get straight to it.
Yeah.
You're a why learner too?
Yeah. Why is this important? Tell me why it's important or I'm out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Mm. And if we capture your attention, chances are we'll actually keep your attention for the whole presentation.
Yes.
But if we miss you, oh my goodness, if we miss you, you're actually going to become quite disruptive. You're going to talk to the people around you. You're going to start talking on your phone and doodling, and it'll be very obvious that we've lost you. So you never really have to question whether you've captured a why learner or not, because it's pretty obvious. Mm. So we start with the why learners. Now, I do have a little structure inside of the why learner, because usually, you know, when you first start speaking, whether it's on camera or whether it's live, it's those first words that come out that feel the most uncomfortable. So once we kind of get beyond that, you know, icebreaker, we start to get into a bit more flow. So I've got a structure that we can remember that answers the question of why really, really easily. And so I do a little dance to it. And so it starts with, there we go. I love it. So it's topic, audience, 2 a.m., what's in it for them? The topic, audience 2 a.m.,
what's in it for them?
Topic, audience
2 a.m., what's in it for them?
I can see a wrap.
Topic, audience, 2 a.m., what's in it for them?
What's in it for them? Topic,
right.
Audience. 2 a.m., what's in it for them? Topic, audience. 2 a.m., what's in it for them?
So oh, you're there.
Yeah, right. Yeah, babe.
Break it down. three white Australians trying to rap. It just doesn't look right.
Yeah. No, white people shouldn't clap. I just really.
I like it.
Ah, that's funny.
Let's get the white.
Okay, so the topic is, you know, I would go for something really catchy. I would go for something really cool that's going to get the real estate agent's ears to prick up. So you're not going to throw in chiropractic for real estate. So you're going to talk about, you know, endless energy for real estate agents, or the powerhouse real estate agent. Mm. You know, the very thing that a real estate agent imagines themselves to be when they're firing on all fours.
What about the... No.
What are you going to say?
No, it was, there actually wasn't anything wrong, but I kind of, it was silly. I was just going to go the energized real estate agent. But, you know, I was thinking E&E there too. But anyway, got lost. Yeah, I'm still rapping inside my mind. I'm sure I'm more like M&M. There's a white rapper.
We lost him.
I'm back. Okay. So the powerhouse real estate agent, is that where we left it with?
Oh, that's gold.
All right, let's go.
Back to it.
Breathe in through the nose. So the topic is whatever your catch cry is going to be. You know, give that some thought and make it really compelling. And then the audience is obviously real estate agents, and then their 2 a.m. is what we've got to put the most amount of energy into. So the 2 a.m. is what wakes them up at 2 a.m. What wakes them up with the fright? What wakes them up with the start? What's the pain? What's the problem that wakes them up at 2 a.m. that you have the solution for? So a problem, based on what you've already said, the problem could be that wakes them up at 2 a.m. is that they cannot compete, because the real estate industry is very competitive. They cannot compete and they cannot grab their market share because they've got their knuckles dragging on the ground. They're so exhausted, they're so tired, and they're spinning their wheels, getting nowhere fast. Mm. And to be really honest, having been in real estate for 8 years, that's pretty common.
Mm. Yeah, got it.
So what we promise, so then the what's in it for them, so we've got the topic, we've done the audience. So the topic is powerhouse real estate agents or energized real estate agents, if that's where you want to go with it. Yeah. And then we've got our audience is real estate agents, and then we've got our 2 a.m. pain is, you know, you're exhausted, you can't compete, your knuckles are dragging on the ground, you're spinning your wheels going absolutely nowhere. I usually try and come up with 3 pain points.
Yep.
And I'll usually hit the mark with one of them as I say it. And then what's in it for them?
Can I interject there? I have a cheat with how I come up with those pain points. Want to know what they are?
Go. Yeah.
I ask them. So if I'm dealing with the real estate agents.
You're such a cheat.
Yeah, I know. I know it's silly, but it's people like, oh man, what's going on with them? Like in this situation, if I got asked, I'd say, what are the biggest challenges you guys have? You know, what's difficult for you? Like if I could wave a magic wand and it were to disappear, what do you want to go?
If you're waking up at 2 a.m., what are you thinking about?
Yeah. So these questions, if you're sitting there at the moment thinking, oh my God, I'm about to give a talk to a bunch of librarians and I have no idea what their 2 a.m. is, ask them. Like literally, you don't, you know, sometimes you can, you know, compassion and empathy, being able to put yourself in somebody else's position is a great way to come up with this too. But, you know, in the early stages, just ask the group. It's a great way to find out about it. Sorry to interject. So next.
No, and so vital. And so vital. Absolutely. So then the what's in it for them is, what are we going to promise them? So the way that I do that is I imagine them at the end of the presentation leaving the room. How do they feel? What have they got? What have I given them? What's the sensation that they're going to leave with? So what's my promise? So what's in it for them if they sit and listen to me for a half an hour? What are they going to get out of it? So I'll usually come up with two or three things where I'll say, you know, when you leave here, you're going to be armed with the tools that you need to feel the fire in your belly on a daily basis, and you'll also have the fuel inside of yourself to, you know, to keep running when you feel like when ordinarily you would have lost steam. Whatever it is, but it's sort of like I imagine them at the end of the presentation and what they're going to leave with. So it would sound something like this. Okay, so welcome everybody. I'm Karen Smith and I am here to talk to you guys about how you can start to feel like you're a real powerhouse in your business. Now, I know as a room full of real estate agents that the number one thing that's waking you up at 2 a.m. is you're probably struggling to compete, which means money is often an issue. You're struggling to compete. It takes such a lot of energy to go door knocking and constantly gaining new listings and then to sell those properties and deal with the hundreds of thousands of buyers that you're flooded with, not. And then also how you're actually managing, you know, when you're back in the office and you're trying to think about new strategies. Sometimes your mind can be a bit foggy. So I know that those are the sorts of things that is troubling most real estate agents. So I promise you at the end of this presentation today, you're going to leave feeling like you've got some tools that you can start to implement on into your daily strategies that can start to make you feel like you've got that energy. And when you're feeling like you need a bit of a boost, you know exactly what you need to do for yourself mentally, physically, and emotionally so that you can keep doing the do, because your success is just around the corner as long as you keep your mind clear.
Great.
So that, I probably did that in maybe, I don't know, maybe 35 seconds, 40 seconds. And that, I just followed the structure there as I was speaking. And all I heard in my head was topic, which was powerhouse. Then I heard audience, and my audience is real estate agents.
Yep.
And you actually have to call out your audience. You have to say, I know you're real estate agents.
Yep.
Only because they need to know you know who they are. So I know you're real estate agents, and I know that what wakes you up at 2 a.m. is competition, and obviously money comes with that, and, you know, you're spinning your wheels and you're not going anywhere fast. And then so what I promise you is that you're going to have some tools to support yourself mentally, physically, and emotionally, because we want to keep this bit clear and we want to keep this bit fit. That's ultimately the message that I was going for in that bit. So all I'm hearing inside of my mind is the structure. But then the rest of it, as long as I've done my pre-work of getting clarity on what I want to say in each of those, it just then becomes conversational.
Yeah.
And that's just the why. The rest of it's actually really easy. The why is probably the part that you've got to put the most effort into and the most energy into preparing, because that's where you break the ice with your audience. And that's where you capture those why learners that if you don't get them, you've lost them, and you've lost them for the whole presentation. Does that make sense?
Yeah, what a beautiful framework
to go
through. So there it is again, remember, topic, audience, 2 a.m., what's in it for them? And, you know,
and you have to dance.
Yeah, you have to dance. Yeah, I don't have to dance. So was it my wedding vows? I don't have to dance. So,
or was it please don't dance?
Sometimes it is there too.
Right.
But this, it's interesting because even hearing you just role play what you're talking about with the real estate agents, I'm like, you know, we're completely making up. I go, oh, I would like to listen to that. But that kind of structure through there in coming up with that, it then also lets you know what you've got to talk about. So, okay, great, I'm talking about energy management for these people. How do I relate that back to what I do as a chiropractor? And then, you know,
it's your content dot points, isn't it?
Yeah, it does. It helps you kind of go through that to keep on bringing it back to. So am I right in saying that introduction there is a 30 to 60 second kind of introduction as a general rule?
Max, even if you are speaking for a day or for 20 minutes, the why learners are really, really sharp and really, really quick. So we don't want to labor. We don't want to put filling words in there. And I think when you work with this kind of structure, it helps you to make sure that every word you use actually matters rather than the ums and the ahs and you know what I mean, or, you know, words that we use to think, but they're filling words as they come out. So when somebody says, they're thinking about what they're going to say next, but it's just a sound that's come out that to the listener, it doesn't draw them in. It actually turns them off. So we want to make sure that every word we say actually has a purpose and it means something. So when we use this structure, it allows us to get very clear in our mind before we step out onto stage or before we step in front of the camera or before we start writing, which is vital because your listeners, you know, the why learner only listens for that very first 30 seconds and then they turn off as you go into the next piece. And then they'll turn back on again when you do the how. And then when you do the final bit, they're not listening again. So, you know, our audience is only ever listening to us 30% of the time. Now, if we're waffling in any of that time, we've missed one of the listening styles because none of the listening styles tolerate waffling.
Got it. And then, Karen, would I be right in saying too, just that if I was going to be writing a blog article or a newsletter or recording a video, I would use this same framework for the introduction of that written word, pre-recorded video, regardless of what the format is, podcast like we're doing now, is that, you know, this is a framework to begin any kind of communication.
100%.
Got it.
100%. Because, I'll tell you how you know that it works, is oftentimes what we say is here and what people hear is here. And especially if we had children, we'll notice that distinction and that difference in what we say and what they hear. And oftentimes when we're on the phone or if we're sending an email or if we're writing but we can't communicate tone, we can misconstrue the communication between two people. So it's vital that we are able to communicate in a way that provides clarity in all of the different learning styles. And what we're doing here today shows you how to do that. So, I mean, I even fight with my partner in this. You know, I'll tell him why he's irritated me, what he's done wrong, how he can fix it. Now go do it. You know, so.
Let me make you feel it.
Yeah.
Good work. And how's that working for you?
Well, we've been together 15 years.
That's a good start. Well done. I like it.
Be very afraid. No, I'm just kidding. But honestly, what it does is that it communicates the same point from all different angles. So then there are fewer questions, there's fewer misunderstandings, and you can never know another person's learning style. You can't tell by the colour of their hair. You don't know. So if we communicate inside of all of the learning styles and we do it with words that matter rather than waffling, then we're able to do it quickly, succinctly, and it's, you know what, it's actually really compelling and it's really engaging. And I think that's one of the greatest gifts for all the people that I've trained in this, is that you don't have to put so much pressure on yourself to be a dancing monkey or to be an extrovert if you're not. Yeah. You know, the pressure is actually on the presentation structure. You follow that, your audience is engaged regardless of whether you're an introvert or an extrovert. The pressure is on the structure, not on you.
Got it. So where to next? We've just done a killer introduction.
Well, for the why people only, though. We've only hit the whys, yeah? Is that right?
Correct.
Yes.
Next up, we've got our what learners.
Yes.
What's. Okay, so on to the what's.
Okay, so the what learners are just as sharp. They're just as quick, so no waffling here either. So the what learners, this piece 60 seconds, you can take up to 2 or 3 minutes, regardless on how long your presentation is, but up to 2 or 3 minutes, depending on how much information you need to convey. So our what learners want to know what we're learning. So this is where we would say, today, real estate agents, I'm going to share with you 3 strategies that you can take home and start working with immediately and see a difference in your business. You're not telling them the 3 strategies. You're just setting an agenda for the presentation. So I'm going to share 3 strategies with you that you're going to be able to take home and start using immediately. What I'm also going to share with you is how you can implement those strategies, and I'm going to give you step-by-step instructions because we know that the how part is actually coming next. Does that make sense to you guys?
Yep. So you're bridging from the what to the how.
You got it. And now if there's any data or research, this is where it goes. You can include data and research in the how as well, but this is where it starts. So this is where we would say, did you know that your buyers and sellers are only listening to 7% of what you say? So you're putting so much energy into what you're saying to try and sell a house, but they're only listening to 7% of what you're saying. The rest of your communication is in your body language, and it's in your tone and inflection. So if we don't get our body language right, 58% actually of our communication occurs in our body language. So if we don't get that right, we're not making a sale anytime soon. Compelling or what?
Got me.
Got it. The research statistics percentages
got,
at that
got
touch.
Me with this one.
My dad taught me that. My dad always used to say to me, don't do that, Buffy.
That's good for our
Buffy. Hang on, write that down.
For our audio, yeah. Karen's doing some kind of very special finger wiggle at
wiggle,
the moment.
A finger wiggle.
Too, so,
sorry about that.
No, it's good that you go over and watch the clip on YouTube or over on Audio Media anyway. So
absolutely. And can we keep that my dad calls me Buffy secret, please?
That's just between you and me.
Done. We'll blurt that out. So love
okay,
it.
So now that we've done our what, and it's just that quick. It's that quick. It's again another 30 seconds to 3 minutes. But again, it just depends on how much data you've got. Like if you're speaking about a subject that is quite research heavy, this is where you'll put your statistics. But I want to make a recommendation for everybody that if you're planning on using PowerPoint presentations to demonstrate your statistics or your research, only ever make sure that you've got 3 to 5 points on that PowerPoint slide. What I often see is people putting newspaper clippings up on PowerPoints, or they're putting lots of data and information on a PowerPoint slide, and the audience cannot listen and read at the same time. So while they're listening to you and trying to read the PowerPoint and then listen to you and read the PowerPoint and listen to you and read the PowerPoint, then they shut down. Mm-hmm. And then they disengage. So you've lost them. So I strongly recommend that when it comes to presenting data and research, you say it first and then flick up the slide if you're going to have one, and then don't say a word. Be quiet while they read the slide, if that's what you have to do. And I know that in chiropractic there is lots of research, so that's why I thought I'd mention that. And the other best thing to do, if it's possible, is to say the research, speak it, and then go to a whiteboard or a flip chart and write it. That's much better than using PowerPoint, because PowerPoint puts our learners into a passive learning state, kind of like when we're watching TV, how we kind of like it's all a bit mind-numbing. So if we can avoid PowerPoint altogether, I strongly recommend that.
Good tip.
But sometimes you can't, so whatever you need to do.
Love it.
Super. So that's
the what?
That's the what. Now we get into the how. We've bridged to the how.
Mm-hmm. So I'll usually say words that kind of link them. I'll say, so what am I talking about here today? Well, what I'm going to share with you is my 3 strategic points that you can take home and implement and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then once I've done that, I'll go, okay, so let's look at how you can take this home. And I'm going to give you some step-by-step instructions now. So listen up, guys. So I actually call out my what and I call out my how so that I just thought I heard my phone ringing then. I call out my what and I call out my how so that those listeners know, okay, it's time for me to listen. It's happening unconsciously, but they're automatically attracted to those words. So I call it out. And then, you know, when it comes to our how, that's where a PowerPoint slide or a whiteboard or flip chart is vital. Because we want to be able to provide step-by-step instructions. So these, each how point becomes like a mini topic. So if we've got, okay, so what are the three things that we would want to share with real estate agents that could help them become a powerhouse and manage that physical body language? Because we've already mentioned that that's, you know, that's vital. Otherwise, they're not making any sales. So what are we... What are the three things that we want to share with the real estate agent that's going to transform them? And this is where we've got to start to think a bit, wow, you know, we've got to give them stuff that they couldn't get themselves or information that's not necessarily in a book but comes from your expertise of being a natural practitioner. What could we share with them that they could go, oh, my God, I didn't know?
So we might share, like as an example, perhaps I could share, this is the kind of thing that too, maybe about posture, your head going forwards, the impact that has on breath and therefore the impact that has on your energy. So is that the kind of thing that might be enough that's a little bit kind of edgy and all that kind of stuff there that we could get into? And here's how your posture relates to your energy and something along those lines, or we might need to jazz it up more.
Oh, we can jazz it up. You know, once you've kind of got that as the direction that you want to go in, then you can kind of add some bells and whistles to it, you know, because if you were to stand, you know, if you were speaking to real estate agents and you start talking about, well, you know, when you're sitting at a desk and your neck does, you know, they're kind of going to zone out a little bit. But if you would, because real estate agents are generally high vibe people, you know, if you know the real estate agents, they, you know, they're they're your cutthroat kind of really, you know, you know, they're sharp as a tack kind of people, and they're salespeople, so they want it short and sharp. So maybe we could say, we could, you know, come up with a with one of our topics being, and I always think,
No, I was going to say, like even if we went through the idea of, you know, something catchy like power breathing and the breath that impacts. So we went down that angle, and then we talked about the importance of breath first of all, and the impact that has on body and body language and all those kind of things. And then we link that back and say, you know what, one of the reasons you're possibly not breathing properly is because your spine is all out of whack. And that's how we could kind of link that back in, yeah?
You totally nailed it. Totally nailed it. Because I was going to say, one of my suggestions on being able to kind of get to that wow factor is to say, okay, well, we've got the neck and the energy, but a way to get to a like a kind of a higher wow factor is to go, well, for what purpose would we talk about that? For what purpose? What's the purpose we would talk about that? And you've just gone through, you've just said breath, but in my mind I'm thinking, well, actually, as a real estate agent, they're thinking about money, they're thinking about vitality really, like their energy to be consistent, and that's life. So you went straight to breath, and breath and life are same, in my mind, breath and life are same. So we've kind of gone, well, for what purpose would we want to talk about their posture? Well, it's for their ability to, you know, be more productive, be more efficient, make more sales, you know, make more money. And for what purpose? Well, so that then they can feel like they're actually getting somewhere and they've chosen the right career. You know, like you can keep chunking up.
This kind of reminds me of of the importance of packaging. Like it's, you know, it's packaging of stuff. You know, many women, some men as well, love to get that little Louis green box, you know, the Tiffany's one. Now, whether the ring inside it is any different than the one from the jeweler down the road, the packaging inside of that is different. That's what adds value to it. So what I'm kind of hearing here is I've got a message for real estate agents. So instead of me just packaging it under, hey, man, don't have a forward head posture, we kind of link forward head posture to breathing, breathing to life, life to all that kind of stuff there too. It's the same message. It's just packaged differently. And there's massive value in packaging, gang. Learning how to package things and taking the time to do that is where the value comes about a lot. I think it reminds me a lot of that.
Look, it's spot on. And, you know, it's doing that chunking, like for what purpose, for what purpose, for what purpose. And if you know your audience well enough, You're going to know what flicks their switch. You're going to know what lights them up. And, you know, in real estate, it is. It's energy and it's money. And it's feeling like they've made the right choice. Because I think most real estate agents that are struggling question whether they're in the right industry all the time, because most of them are commission only and they, you know, they're busting a pooper valve to get their first, you know, $100. So it's challenging. It's tough. So you want to speak to that. So we can come up with three mini topics that ideally are all designed to help the real estate agent become a powerhouse. Mm. So do you want to brainstorm two more topics, or do you think we've kind of got a bit of an idea as to how to get
Yeah, I think let's move on, because I want everybody to get a kind of big picture, and I've got some other questions to kind of ask you here. But in essence, I think, you know, if I'm hearing you right, when it comes to that content section, we want at least kind of three tips, strategies, a framework for people to be able to kind of work through. And then whatever those strategies are, link them back to, you know, that idea for what purpose, or we like to talk about so you can, you know, the difference almost between features and benefits and that kind of stuff there too, but really locking it back into that person. You know, so if I'm going to teach them how to breathe properly, for what purpose, or so you can. You know, it's often a linking word that we talk about lots too. So what happens? I've delivered this content beautifully. I've gone through my, my framework, my three tips. What happens? So that's the how section. Is that right?
That's right. And so the how section needs to be about 50% of your presentation time.
Yeah.
So if you've got a half an hour, you want 15 minutes in the how section.
Yeah.
Purely because that's how long it takes a how learner to actually work through each of the steps that you've got. So don't scrimp and scrape on time, and don't miss anything. So if you're going to put a point in there, make sure that you cover it thoroughly. Once we've done the how, we then move on to the what, which is kind of the closing part of our presentation. And this is where we give people a physical experience of what we've been talking about. So this is the part of the audience that
you mentioned this is the what. Is this the kinesthetic bit?
This is the kinesthetic learners.
Okay,
yes.
So we've done why, what, how, now kinesthetic.
Yes.
Great.
I call it do it. I call them do it. So
great.
Why, what, how, do it.
Do it. Yeah. Great. Let's go.
So we've got to do something with these guys. So they've kind of been paying attention sporadically here and there throughout the whole presentation. But these guys, you know, they're not all that into all the words. Just let me play with it and let me figure it out from there. But they don't kind of wake up until the very end of the presentation, which is why we leave this to the end. So this is where we get to be a bit creative, and we want to maybe get somebody out of the audience and, you know, do some muscle testing with them, or we want to get them in partners doing muscle testing with each other, or we want to, do a treasure hunt or something. There's lots of different ideas that you can come up with. You guys might have seen
we could blow some presentations up a balloon, put it on our seat and pop it. Oh my goodness.
Do it.
That'd be a strategy.
There you go. Right. Hey, there's a really good one.
Karen, I have done that in one of Karen's presentations to bring home the message of her talk. It was the do it section, now that I realize. Anyway, good work.
Do it section for a broken coccyx is what it's
called. Yeah. Yeah. Oh my dear.
What, based on that kind of talk we're doing beforehand, I mean, we could just do a posture test, you know, get up, get with some people here. Let's see, have you got this issue that might be impacting your breathing, that's stopping your life force from getting to you, that's impacting your energy during the day, that's impacting. But would that be where we could do something like a posture check?
You could definitely do a posture check there for sure. You can also do something that is I try and look to think what can be memorable, because this is actually what you're going to finish your presentation on. So what can you do that when you leave, because now it comes back to you, what are you going to do so that when you leave, people are going, oh, my God, that was amazing. We've got to get them back. Geez, that was fantastic. So that's the last thing that you're going to leave the audience with. And what Tony was talking about, when I put balloons on seats with a message inside of the balloon, like a quote, but then I have my name and website on the bottom of that quote, so that when they sit on the balloon and it bursts, that's an experience that everybody gets to have. And then they read the little quote, but they're taking me home with them. They put me in their wallet. So then that keeps me memorable. You know, like if something happens for them down the track, they might come to my website or they might come and call me or something like that. So if we can come up with something that's specific to chiropractic that is super, super memorable for people, that they can go, oh my goodness, I didn't know that a chiropractor was so holistic, or I didn't know that a naturopath was so holistic. Mm. That's kind of the thing that we want to be able to leave the audience with. And if that's what a posture check would do, then definitely do that. But if there's something else that you think that you could come up with, I don't know. You guys are going to know that better than me.
Does it have to be something that's specific? I mean, if could I do the pop the balloon thing and inside of it, you know, it doesn't have to be necessarily yes. related to me as a chiropractor, just as something impactful that they remember. Is that, am I?
Well, one of the, so when I'm doing mine, my story is about being blown up in the Bali bombing. So at the end of my presentation, to tie it all back, I'm basically saying, don't wait, you know, don't wait for yourself to go through your own bombing. Sometimes we all need a bit of a bang under the butt to wake us up. So take that as now. So that bang under the butt is sitting on the balloon and it popping, and it's, you know, right. not a bomb, but it's certainly a bang. So that's kind of relevant to my presentation. But there are lots of different things that we can do that are relevant to the presentation. And if you look at the 3 points that you've got in your how, that should sometimes give some idea of some of the things that you can do. Like I had once I had different size elastic bands. You know, sometimes you can get those really thick ones, and then there are really thin ones. And the thick ones don't stretch much, but the thin ones stretch a lot. You know, sometimes you can give out elastic bands and you can get people to see how far they can stretch when they're overloaded, you know. And so the ones that the thick bands are obviously overloaded with too much rubber, so that's why they don't stretch as far. Mm. But those that are keeping themselves, you know, lean and trim, and, you know, they'll get a lot more. Those are just, you know, some ideas that you can use that don't necessarily relate to doing a posture check, but relates to the content.
Mm. Yeah, I'm just thinking of a simple deltoid muscle test in good posture and then the same test with a slumped posture, and they'll feel a lot weaker just doing something simple like that. I mean, that's just a very simple thing that comes to mind for me.
Yeah,
absolutely. So stuff like that is great. Another one I do or have done is I've been talking about what are you focusing on, and that could also work with you guys in terms of are you focusing on your business or you're focusing on your body, because actually your body is your business. So is our focus in the wrong place? And then I get apples with straws and we've got to drive the straw through the apple. But interestingly enough, if you're the facilitator of this, if you don't focus on that apple and that straw and the straw doesn't hit the apple at a 90 degree angle, it'll bounce off the apple. So they do actually have to focus quite intently to get the straw to actually drive through the apple. And if you get the McDonald's ones, it goes all the way through.
Wow.
I know, it's really cool. So I turn up with an apple with a whole stack of straws in it and I say, right, everybody gets an apple and the red delicious apples work the best. Mm. And then you get the straws that don't have the little bendy bit on it. Mm-hmm. You cut that off and then give everybody 5 or 10 straws and everybody bangs their straws in, and, you know, then they're all feeling like they focused on something that was productive, and they charge the apples in the air and it becomes a competition as to who's got as many straws, which would be great for real estate because everybody's competing with everybody anyway. So
love it.
Good tips. Yep, there you go. Yeah. Start getting creative, guys, and see what you can do for your audience. But that's the kinesthetic part of it.
Yeah, and then that's kind of it. Then you can kind of say, you know, thanks so much. This has been great. And I look forward to coming back and going to the next level with you guys, because there's not just 3 things you can do. There's 300. So when you want me back, let me know.
Yeah, great, 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 great. Yeah. So inside of all of this, we've got a great framework now, and there'll be some people that'll go, love the framework, feel really good about it, but I'm scared as can be about getting up and standing in front of people.
Yeah.
How do we talk to those people? How do we encourage them out of the shells to see, you know, what's wonderful about talking with groups of people? So, and you've done that more than anybody. So what, you know, what would you say to those groups of our listeners?
Well, you know, it really depends on what motivates a person. So for me, I'm motivated on making a massive difference to the planet, and it's the reason why I breathe. So for me, I was just as frightened. You know, I'm an accountant by profession. I've worked in real estate and, you know, studied psychology. So I've always worked in environments that it's really just been me. So then to go out and speak for thousands of people was very daunting, but I really needed to do it for myself in terms of making a difference to the masses. Some people would want to do it because it's a way to make more money. You know, you'll never make more money than what you will when you're doing one to many, because that's leveraging your time. So when you're doing one-on-one, you'll spend an hour, but when you do one on 40, you'll still spend an hour, but now you've impacted 40 people. Mm-hmm. And if you're speaking to 100, you're impacting 100 people. And so it grows your profile, it grows your customer base, and it generates much greater profits. For most people in the service industry, in health practitioners, you know, you're probably looking at standard around $80,000 to $100,000 a year. You start doing the one-to-many model and you're looking $250,000+, mm-hmm. simply because now you're not only an expert in what you offer in terms of a service provider, but you're also an expert in terms of communication and inspiring people. And when you can inspire people to take new action en masse, the collective energy that happens there is part of what makes it so memorable, so profound, and so important. And there's just not enough of us doing it. So it'll either be for money, it'll be for making a difference. And really, those are the only real reasons I think that a person would want to do this, is to make a difference to more people and or make more money doing it. Mm. So a way to overcome the fear. So the first thing you've got to do is decide that this is an option. So take it slowly. Don't jump out there and go and speak for millions of people or 100 people or one person. Don't do that until you're prepared. You know, part of what makes it so nerve-wracking is that you're relying on yourself to be awesome enough to move and inspire people. Prepare yourself. It's a skill. And by creating your presentation inside of this structure, you're preparing yourself. Then practice the damn thing 40 times before you go out and deliver it in public. Don't just go out there and think that you're going to know how to do it. It's a skill like riding a bike and doing your BASS. It's a skill. Learn how to do it properly, then go out and do it. And you'll find that when you get off the stage from your first presentation, you'll want to celebrate because you'll be so proud of what you've done rather than be terrified. And you'll still be terrified. I'm saying for the first 20 presentations, you're still going to be nervous, but you're going to have the ace up your sleeve that you've prepared and practiced 40 times and you know this presentation inside and out. So now you can just relax and deliver it in a conversation. But one of the things that I do, and I even did this last weekend, I was speaking for 800 people in Melbourne. And for some reason, I felt really nervous because I was actually about to announce the launch of a new project that I'm working with, Spirit Hive. And it was the first time that I presented it to a big audience. And I started getting nervous. I could feel my armpits sweating. My throat was closing over. I was starting to see white. So I went straight into the ladies' toilet and I leaned up against the wall and I put myself at a real angle and I started doing my push-ups on the wall. Because with adrenaline coursing through your veins like that, you've got to get it out. It's energy you've got to expend. And it's got to be expended from the top half of the body so that it doesn't constrict the throat. So I did my push-ups until my wrists were aching and my back started to ache. So I did it to failure and then I was ready to go. Yeah. So that's one thing I suggest a lot of people do. Run on the spot. Push out some push-ups against a clean surface, not a toilet floor, against a clean surface until failure, and then you'll be fine. You'll find when you get out on stage, all of that nervous energy, you won't actually have it at all.
Mm. So great to hear that, isn't it? Someone like you, Karen, who's been on thousands of stages, spoken to hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people, yet still sometimes gets nervous. So, gang, if you are feeling like you're super nervous, even the experts like Karen Smith get nervous, how you deal with that. And Karen's just given you a good little tip there to deal with those pre-show nerves as well.
I think, you know, too, because the other thing I really admire you saying it too, when we're dealing with fear, sometimes we try and head down these esoteric paths and it certainly is about purpose and having it be not about you, but sometimes it's just about good old-fashioned practice. Yeah. Like, you know, that's one thing that we need to do. I know that at times you and I have given many speeches around, I never wing it. Like, my audience is more important than that. I prepare. And in the early days, you know, there are 30-minute presentations that I've learned word for word, like rote learned the whole thing, which I don't know how I do it or how I did it now, thinking back on it too. But preparation, nothing beats preparation, you know, when it comes to kind of dealing with nerves as well. But, you know,
I think a lot of people that I've spoken to are conflicted in that they say, you know, when I'm up there, I just need to go with the flow. You know, I need to trust myself and I can't speak in front, you know, I can't be so structured. And they say that that's where their genius is. And while that is true, it's also not true. It might be easier for the speaker, but it is not easier for the audience. Because the speaker is only speaking inside of their own learning style and the audience is desperate to get something from that speaker. That's why they're there. So it's actually, and you hit the nail on the head, Angus, when you said you care for your audience more than that. And I think that that's the respect we have to show to our listeners. If they have, if our audience is paid or if they're paying with their time to read what we've written or to listen to what we've said, we must respect that and prepare to the extent that we're able to know what we want to say inside of the structure point, and then we can go into flow with it. You know, then go into conversation if you know what you want to hit inside of that structure point. But don't for one second think that you can avoid the structure and that that is then going to be a better presentation. It might be easier on you because you didn't have to practice. And trust me, practicing is painful. But if I hate it, I love putting the presentation together and I love standing on stage, but the bit in between, I hate it. It's so boring, but it has to be done in order for me to know my content like a pro, and my audience deserves that. And that's the difference between someone who gets invited to speak over and over and over again, and somebody who never gets invited back again. One is compelling, charismatic, inspiring, interesting, engaging, and creates change. And the other just waffles. And as much as that's hard to hear, that's what's actually happening from your audience's point of view. So it's that important. If you want to do this, make a commitment to yourself, and this is a commitment I made, I will master this. I will master it. Otherwise, what's the point? And it takes continual practice. And here I am now, 12 years down the track, and I'm still, when I get off this call, I'm still rehearsing for a presentation that I've got to do. I think we've got 650,000 people tuning into a call worldwide in a week's time. Wow. So, you know, you can't wing it on that.
And that's such great advice, Karen. And it just reminds me of, you know, the snowball effect of what one thing can lead to. Obviously, such tragedy in your life has led to so many new opportunities coming up. You speaking in front of us at DG so many years ago has allowed us to work together over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years. You know, who knows where things are going to go? And so I just encourage you to go through this framework that Karen's laid out. Pop your great expertise, your uniqueness into a presentation and just get out there with good preparation and start spreading your message. Karen, thanks so much for being part of the Marketing Your Practice podcast. Always an absolute pleasure. You're such a beautiful human being. We love you. We love everything you do and we just wish you all the very best.
Oh, thank you so much. It's always such a treat and an honor to hang out with you guys. So I'm very grateful that you have me back. And I wish everybody that is listening to this and watching this, I hope all of you guys go ahead and take some massive leaps with your message and really start to make a massive difference on the planet. We need you, and it's time. So it's time for us all to really step up and step into the spotlight, and we've been waiting for you. So now's the time. You're not listening to this for no reason. And thank you for allowing me and trusting me to be a part of your ride.
Beautiful. And for people that want to get involved, KarenSmith.com, is that the best place to go?
Yes, it is, KarenSmith.com. Everything's there.
For those listening, that's C-A-R-R-E-N, Smith, KarenSmith.com. Karen.
Beautiful. Until next time. Be well, friend. Thanks so much for sharing so generously with us again. See you soon.
See you guys.
Bye.